do you want to introduce yourself however you want to?
Do you care if I look at the camera? Does it matter?
I think it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can mix it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm Ty Rivera, and I am a stand-up comedian. I'm obviously gay. I don't know if I went heavy on the bronzer today. We'll find out.
Do you wear bronzer?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's funny.
Well, I had to look alive, you know? I don't always wear makeup, but like on a day like today, because I was awake for 30 hours at one point. Mm. Then I went to sleep for a bit, and then I had a bunch more stuff to do. And then this morning I went to sleep at 8 a.m.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't feel like really I'm not particularly tired or anything, but I know that I look probably tired if I don't have anything on my face.
Well, I feel tired, so I probably look tired too, but I don't know how to use bronzer, so.
Yeah, well, one day I'll show you. We'll have a daddy-daughter day.
Why don't you start a podcast where you teach lesbians how to use makeup.
It'll be like a Get Ready With Me. It'll be a whole series.
Yeah, good. All right, sweet. So did you bring some controversial, juicy topics for us?
Well, the problem is I don't really watch the news, you know, so I get some stuff off social media. One thing I did want to talk about, though, was Bill Cosby.
Oh, sure.
You know, he's coming back. He's going to be going on tour again.
Yeah, your Instagram post was so great yesterday.
Yeah, that 2-drink minimum going to hit different.
That's so good. Oh my God. Yeah. So I haven't read. Did you read the article at all?
No, I didn't read the full article.
He's going to be touring again.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm interested to see if I'll finally like him.
Is he going to address it?
That's what I want to know, you know, because that not that I like that part of him or whatever, but it might be at least interesting to hear what his take is on that if he's like completely open about it.
Right.
You know,
he might also just not mention it.
Well, the only thing that I liked about the Bill Cosby scandal was it made it okay for me to admit that I didn't like him, because I hadn't liked him all throughout. I never liked his stand up. You know, I thought Heathcliff Huxtable was funny and charming. You know, I liked that character. But like when I was a kid and, you know, people would be talking about how great he was. And this was long before I even did stand up. But I always loved stand up since I was little. And so, I was always like, I just don't think it's funny. I just don't like it. And then, you know, when I started doing stand up, there were a lot of comics that would shame me when we, you know, talk about Bill Cosby, because so many people thought he was one of the greats.
Yeah.
And I was always like, yeah, I just don't like him. And then that happened, and it was popular to say you didn't like him. And I was like, finally.
Feel vindicated.
Yeah. I told you guys.
I told you he was bad.
That's what I didn't like about him, was I knew. Internally, I knew that's what was going on.
Well, good sense, I guess, of things. I think it's interesting because, like, you know, some people definitely give me shit or question me about opening for Louis. And like, or people have no idea that he's touring and has been touring for years again. And they're like, oh, I thought he was locked up in a cage or whatever. And I'm like, but like Louis, you know, what he's even accused of is like so light years below the Cosby thing. And Cosby's coming back out to tour, and people are going to be and so many people are going to be packing out his shows. And yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, and there with all the accusers, there are, like, I don't know if you paid attention when that was actually coming out, you know.
The Cosby thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many different, like, variations of things that happened, which with anything like that, there are going to be a lot always.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people forget that different people occupy different parts of the world. And there's different ways that people operate, you know? And so some of the stories, it was like one of the women, like he had already like drugged her and raped her. And then she went on a trip to Vegas with him. And it's kind of like, okay, well, I don't really know at what point you're just kind of a part of it, you know, or like maybe a willing/unwilling participant. Like, you obviously know something isn't right. Like, how many times does something like that have to happen to you before you get like, oh, maybe I shouldn't hang out with this person?
Right.
And then, you know,
what did that woman say? I didn't remember that one where she had already been, she knew she'd already been drugged and raped, and then she still went to
Vegas. And she still went to Vegas with him. It was like a 2 hour 2020 where they talked about some of the different ones. There was one where I felt really bad for this woman because it was almost, I think it was like her aunt or something like that had kind of, for lack of a better term, given her to Cosby. Yeah. And so she didn't even realize that that's what the deal was, you know? And so that woman I felt really bad for.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, there was an episode I did of Tim Dillon's show. It was one of the Patreon episodes. And the title of it was Be Better Whores. And it was called that because I said that at a point about a lot of the Me Too women, you know, because some of the Me Too people I really feel bad for, but some of them I feel sort of like, okay, well, that was you playing a game that you weren't really ready to play.
Yeah.
And then when you didn't come out on the winning end, suddenly now it turned into some sort of victimization. You know, like when I was younger, I was a sex worker. And I had a situation where, because, you know, like I'm talking about occupying that world, you know, and when I was younger, I had a situation where there was this guy, Dennis, that really liked me. And there was a point where me and Dennis were out, like, you know, partying, drinking, doing blow, that kind of thing, you know. Now I don't do drugs, but when I was younger, I would get down, you know. And so earlier in the night, you know, and Dennis I hadn't met in a professional way. But he knew what I did, and he was like an older guy that liked to spend money and stuff like that. And we were leaving some bar that we had been hanging out at, and he had said that he wanted me to go home and sleep with him. You know, he was just like, you know, just come back and sleep. And I was like, you know, I know you're going to try to fuck me.
Yeah.
Can we say anything on here? Okay. And I was like, I know you're going to try to fuck me. And he was like, no, I promised I'm not going to. And I was like, I don't believe you, Dennis. I know what you're going to do. And, you know, we're completely fucked up. And so, like, at this point, it's like the coke doesn't really matter. You're just more drunk than anything else. And but I had spotted his watch earlier in the night. He had this really nice Gucci watch that I wanted. And so he was like, just come back and sleep at my place. I promise I won't do anything. I was like, okay, well, then let's make a bet. I was like, I know that you're going to try something on me while I'm asleep.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I'm not. And I was like, okay, then bet me your watch.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything, then, you know, I just leave and it's cool. But if you try something, then I get to keep your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay. And I was like, cool, then give me your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, no, I don't want to give you my watch. And I was like, yeah, give me your watch. So I hold on to it. If you don't do anything in the morning, I give you your watch back. He tried to say no. Too bad I already spotted the clasp and I just pulled his watch off his arm and I threw it in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so sure enough, in the middle of the night, I wake up and he's mounting me.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of feeling victimized like you should have, my response was, ha, I told you you were going to try this.
Yeah.
And I took off and I left with his watch. Yep. And, you know, like it was a $40 cab ride from his place to my place. So I got a brand new Gucci watch for $40.
Yeah.
And just like I couldn't accuse him of rape had it gone the other way, he couldn't accuse me of having robbed him since I got to keep his watch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's good. You made sure that you would be in a situation where you didn't have to feel used.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like men and women are playing these games a lot of times where so much is going unspoken between them that and the woman doesn't really want to admit to herself that she is kind of putting herself into a horror situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, then she's then not protecting herself. It's kind of like how if you don't make prostitution legal, then you can't have like protections in place for women. But if you don't even realize that you're trying to use a man back, then you're going to let him use you and you're going to get fucked.
Exactly. Yeah. And then sometimes, like when I said, like the be better whores part, it's just sort of like you can't trust that somebody's going to do something for you in the future. Mm-hmm. Like they've got to do it for you first and then you do whatever you're going to do. You know what I mean? You don't blow somebody to get in a movie, you blow somebody after you've been in the movie.
Right.
You know,
get paid up front, ladies.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like
watch in your bag.
Yeah, exactly. I'll fuck you at the premiere.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when it'll happen.
That's when all these women should have told Weinstein and everybody.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and there is a fair amount of that, like, you know, with Weinstein, all of them, there's some that I legitimately feel bad for because it just...
They were hoodwinked or they were put in a position.
Complete sexual assault, 100%. Because I've been on the opposite side, too. Like, when I first started doing stand-up, I was sexually harassed by, like, a bigger comic. And when I started doing stand-up, I'd already stopped with sex work. And I never wanted the two worlds to be a part of each other. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like I was, like, trying to trade sex in any kind of way. I don't work that way. You know what I mean? When I did sex work, I just wanted money or a watch. But, you know, I just, like, wanted what I wanted. Like, once I got into stand-up, I knew that wasn't a respectable way to do anything. Right. It wasn't a way I wanted to get anything done. And I legitimately got sexually harassed to a point where I understand that too. And I think it's rough sometimes when people are like, why didn't they talk about this 30 years ago? And what people don't realize is in a lot of cases, those people have talked about it for the last 30 years. It's just for 25 of those years, nobody wanted to hear it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you try to tell somebody, even something like, you know, as kind of benign as like somebody being a joke thief, a lot of times people will talk about that when it's happening, but nobody wants to hear it because everybody likes that person. And then it reaches that critical mass where now everybody's talking about it. And then everybody's, you know, some of the people that come out, they're like, well, why didn't you say it back then? And they're like, I have been saying it. Mm-hmm. It's just you guys didn't want to hear it back then.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So do you have any thoughts, though, about Cosby coming back? And like, do you think that people should not go see him or...
I think people should do whatever they want to do, you know, because different people feel different ways. So I think people should do that according to the way that they actually personally feel. And that's what I think will be interesting, to see what it is the public thinks about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see whether he's selling out shows or if people are just kind of like, no.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Well, you know, there's also people from older generations that don't really care and think that that's the way men and women work.
Right. Because there is some of that, like, it was a different time mentality to it of like, well, it was just kind of understood that women didn't want to have sex and men wanted to. And so men were going to try anything they could, and that sometimes men might slip you something. I mean, he joked about it in his Spanish fly that he would do. He was kind of open about drugging women.
Well, Quaaludes are thigh gappers.
Right.
You know, that's what they were called. That's what, like, you know, and Hugh Hefner, like, backed that up too, you know, that's what it was back then. And I remember, you know, because by the time I was, like, active and hanging out, you know, like, sexually active and stuff like that, Quaaludes were no longer a thing. But I remember some of the older gays that I would talk to talking about Quaaludes and how great they were. And right. That's just one of the ways people party. And now, you know, a lot of people in the gay community are partying on meth, you know, which has been for a long time. But that, too, kind of...
Or Xanax. People use Xanax in order to have more sex.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah, and so I like some of the stories, it seems pretty horrific, and he just seems like a straight up rapist, where it's like he just got used to the idea that he could do this, and so he just was doing it loosey goosey, willy nilly, whatever. Like, maybe some of the women in some cases had some awareness of like, oh, maybe he's going to slip me something that is going to make me feel okay with whatever, and I'm kind of okay with that. Like, maybe that's the case, but then he just kind of got into a habit of, oh, I'm just going to do that to everyone. And it just became, I think some of it, I think for, you know, out of the 70 women or whatever, some of it is just pure rape in that way.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But also, on the other hand, if you knew you were going to get fucked by Cosby, wouldn't you want to be drugged too?
Yeah, I mean, at least they got the Quaaludes or whatever, right? Because apparently those things are really fun and you can't get them anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to remember fucking Cosby.
Well, that's,
you know,
the problem. Some of them he should have drugged harder because they woke up right at the end.
Yeah,
know?
That's
you really
the
don't
worst.
Want that.
Yeah, that's the worst time to wake up, too.
It's you know. Just for the worst part. Yeah, you really want the anesthesiology to be
waking up. Yeah, you want a professional in there.
Yeah. Can we have someone there to keep me asleep? Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Yeah, I am curious to see whether he's packing out his theaters or whatever. Wouldn't it be great if he could only do smaller six-scale comedy and so he was... come into small clubs.
He's at the mics.
Yeah,
you're just seeing him at a coffee house. Yeah. You know, like, so number five on the list tonight is
He just, for the love of the game, he just wants back
Cosby. We're doing tag team tonight. Yeah. You're going to bring up Cosby. It's like, what do you want me to say about you?
One of the most notorious comedians of all time.
What do you want me to say about you?
Oh, God. Oh, if only. And what is he, 80 or something now? It's like, he's blind.
He's got his work cut out for him.
It's so funny.
It's not an easy road he's hoeing right now. I think we should feel bad for Cosby at this point.
I mean,
he's an octogenarian rapist. Do you know what kind of life that is?
And a person of color.
Yeah, we're just going to completely negate that.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I can't decide what's funnier is if he just doesn't address it at all and comes out and just is telling old school jokes like nothing ever happened, or if he comes out and like just has some just like cavalier shit.
Yeah, just like bitches be crazy, right? You guys. It's like, yeah, I guess. You know,
yeah. Oh God, I just don't even, I mean, it's like you could be upset, but it's just the world we're living in now. Things are just so funny. It's so funny that blind 80-something-year-old Cosby is going to come out post-raping 80 women and just going to stand up.
Thank you and good night. You know, just like, all right, this is
it gonna, maybe he's just going to do like family-friendly old yeah, material. You know? I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Like I said, I'm most excited to see how people react and like whether or not people go for it.
Yeah.
Also, I want to see how it's going to play out with the different venues because, you know, the venues always get pressure. And so
yeah.
You don't even know what's going to be an option for him to perform at. You would imagine, you know, like some people have even, you know, made it so Chappelle, just for his words, can't perform certain places. So.
Yeah, if any of the places that don't allow Chappelle allow Cosby, then that would be really fucked up.
Well.
Let's see who accepts Cosby. I just don't. If I owned a venue, I would not allow Cosby there. But
would you work on the same show?
Like if he were on a show and they, I don't think so. I was just gonna ask you if you would open for him.
And I don't know. I don't want to lie to you and be like I wouldn't. And the next week Christ you're like, Ty's opening for Cosby. He just said he wouldn't. It's like, can we maybe not play whatever you've got on me right now or edit out that part where I said I wouldn't? Because Bill doesn't like it.
Keeping it on the DL if you do open it for him, right? It's like, just don't tell your friends.
Yeah, just.
No, yeah, I don't. There's some people that are just too beyond the pale. There's people where I'm like, look, the story is more gray than it was, you know, proposed to you in the media and your friend, whatever. But like with Cosby, I'm like, the guy is too much of an unrepentant rapist. I mean, you know, I know it was just some different time stuff. Some of the women were maybe more cynical than they're letting themselves, whatever. But like at some point, it just became straight up rape for him.
And yeah, out of 80.
He's a misogynistic douchebag.
Yeah, out of 80, there's got to be, you know, it can't all be.
I don't think everyone was like, yeah, give me some Quaaludes. Do whatever you want when I'm asleep. I don't think that was the way. I think he raped a bunch of women and that. He's just a piece of shit, really. But
yeah, and I agree on Louis. It's a completely different thing, you know.
Different ball game.
I saw when Louis came back. One of the first that he did was McCurdy's in Sarasota, Florida.
Oh yeah.
And that happened to be the weekend that he was there, or the week he was there, because he was doing like, you know, Monday through Wednesday. I think was what he was doing. And the week that he decided to do, I was there for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And he decided that he wanted to do the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hit me up and were like, hey, Louis wants to do the Thursday. So that obviously means that you would not be doing the Thursday because, you know, Louis's selling it out. And
yeah.
I was just like, does my money change?
Yeah.
And they said no. And I was like, great. Okay. Can we go watch the show? And so, you know, but yeah, it's completely different. And One of the people in the Louis situation, I'm actually very friendly with. I haven't talked to her in a long time. And, you know, I've done like commentary videos on the Louis situation and stuff like that. And she's never hit me up to say like anything negative, you know, or like, you know, to completely disagree with, you know, what I was saying or anything like that.
Can you give us a quick summary of your thoughts on Louis?
Oh, just with Louis, I just felt like, you know, like it was admitted that like in one of the cases that they talk about, they thought he was joking and then he started doing it. Well, that's on you for thinking somebody's joking when they said that. You know, if I say something and I'm being serious and you think I'm joking and you give consent and then I do it, like maybe we're both a little at fault, but I don't really think so. I still think it's kind of on you because you consented. You were like, you know, be more careful next time.
Is she claiming that she then said, oh, no, I was just kidding. Stop, stop. And they
then that's what happened. But, you know, it's kind of like too late. My dick's out.
I see. Okay. So I don't even remember that story. That's interesting. Yeah. So she was saying that she kind of withdrew her consent and then he kept doing it.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, you just, you know, I don't know. I have so, you know, I don't have any experience with men, so I have no idea, like, and I don't know what it would be like to be a man in that situation where you've already got your dick out. And then, but it would be weird if a woman's saying, please put your dick away, and you don't. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he did apologize.
Yeah.
He lost millions of dollars. He's considered a social pariah by, you know, a good chunk of the population. So to me, it's like, well, he did kind of pay for it, and he's a genius comedian. I mean, with Cosby, it's like he was a good storyteller, and, you know, he did a lot as the Huxtable character for Black America and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I'm not going like, oh, his comedy is like the stuff that we really need for the world. Like, Louis's comedy is, I think, a net good for the world to such a degree that, like, I'm willing to forgive some of the, you know, sexual misconduct because his comedy was so useful.
Yeah, and Louis also never pretended to be like a pillar of the community or a particularly pious person. You know, with Cosby, it was the opposite, and that's the reason that the judge unsealed that was because of the thing he did about, you know, how Black people need to do better and pull up your pants and all of that stuff, you know. And so I do see a big difference, especially when it comes to that, because Louis has always admitted to being a flawed person.
Right.
And when you start off with that being your premise and what you are, and then we find out you're a flawed person, it's sort of like, well,
He kind of, if you watch his stand-up, you're like, he was exploring his shadow self. He kind of has some bits that are a little bit related to masturbating in front of women and stuff like that. Like, so, yeah, whereas Cosby is just, like, proven himself to be the biggest moral hypocrite of all time.
You know, I'm better than you. And then we find out you're not better than us. And it's kind of like, okay, well, that's kind of the way it always goes. You know, whenever people are too much on the, you know, I'm holier than thou, we usually end up finding out that it's complete opposite. So I think there's that, too, that makes it less forgivable, you know. Not that 80 rapes would ever be forgivable, you know, just like, oh, that didn't happen, you know, like, but that's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Do you have any feelings about the Chris D'Elia thing, like, coming back up?
Oh, did it come back up? Is there a new...
There was a new video put out, like, a week ago or a week and a half ago? And so people are talking about the Chris D'Elia situation, you know.
What was the new video about?
Well, just apparently he's still been doing his same type stuff, but I don't really know what he's doing outside of cheating on his wife at this point.
Is he... you mean in terms of with women, you don't know what he's doing, like, or doing wrong or whatever?
Yeah, like what he's doing wrong, because, you know, there was the one where they said that it was like the underage girl,
right?
And then that somehow went away.
Well, because there was something where he had flirted with her when she was 16 or something and said, hey, hit me up when you're 17, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was stuff like that. I mean, you know, I remember joking back in the day about that, about, like, how he probably on his tour bus he had the age of consent in every state posted on a wall or whatever. But it's like, you know, that is the rule. So if we draw the line somewhere, then you can't then go and say to men, well, okay, we said, you know, 17, but we really meant 25 or whatever. Like, that's, the law is the law. Now, you can find someone to be creepy and be whatever, and that's, you don't have to be his fan. I mean, I've never, from the comedy I've seen of his, I'm not like a fan of his anyway. So, like, I already don't, anyone I think who's a fan of his already probably isn't the kind of person who is that turned off by, like, if you're that turned off by this, you probably already weren't a fan of his comedy. Like, it's not a big overlap of, oh, there's just, like, you know, liberal feminists who loved Chris D'Elia until it turned out that he was interested in 17-year-old women. Like, that's,
I actually have an update on this if you want.
Oh, sweet, yeah.
So I've actually watched the video you're referring to.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with this is that it goes into much more detail on the pedophilia being, like, a continuing thing that he essentially paid these women off, and that it was almost like a NXIVM-level sex cult.
Oh.
Branding women with his initials in the
day. Oh, okay.
So it goes a lot deeper than you do.
But see, the problem I had with that is the, like, especially the woman that they talked to that got the tattoo, she went and paid for the tattoo herself. She got the tattoo, you know, so it's, yeah, yeah. And
he made her pay for it so that it would look like she wanted it. Like,
she just refused to pay for it.
Okay.
Which, again, dumb whore. You know what I mean? Like,
why did she do it? Why did she say she did it? Well, that's, yeah, so that's the thing. If she was into him and then she agreed to that, like, how old was she?
20-something. She was already, like, a full-grown woman, you know? Like, and when you take away, because there was the one 17-year-old accuser that ended up either getting paid off, or, which isn't always the case, you know? Like, I have a friend that was in a situation like that, female friend, mm-hmm. where it was, like, a whole thing. And then later on, it was put out that there had been a settlement, and there had never been an actual settlement. Mm. But there had been some sort of agreement where it was sort of like, okay, well, you're not allowed to talk about it and we're not allowed to talk about it. That's just where it is, you know? And then they told me the actual story and it was like, okay, well, that's nothing like what was being actually presented out there, but they can't publicly talk about it. And I don't even know how much I can say about it, you know, like, because if they get in trouble because of something I say.
Right.
But, you know, when you see that side of it too, it's sort of like, okay, so if you take away that one, you know, which was the only, like, kind of, because they never said a name or anything like that, but it's, you could say maybe semi-public accusation of pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that one away, well, then neither side can take credit for that. Neither side can say, like, okay, this didn't happen or this did happen. You know, it's just kind of a wash at that point. Mm-hmm. So then you're stuck with what? You're stuck with a bunch of women that are of age that had shitty situations with Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Which, like, I can't tell you the number of men that have had shitty situations with me, just like, you know, maybe I was in a bad mood when they came over or we didn't have the best interaction, like, just us as people. Mm-hmm. Nothing sexual happened in a way, like, you know, that would be, like, considered creepy or weird or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just, I wasn't the best host, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so you take that and it's sort of like one woman was like, you know, when I was 26 years old, I went over, and it's like, when you're 26,
right?
At what point do we just start taking responsibility for the fact that,
right? Like, it does make Chris D'Elia less likable. Like, I think that most of us, we hear that and go, he was having young women, whether they were 17 or 26 or whatever, but he was getting them to brand themselves and in some kind of, I'm like, he sounds like a complete douchebag. And my opinion of him, which already wasn't that high because of his comedy, is way lower. But, like, okay, I wasn't ever going to go pay to see him do comedy. I wasn't ever going to book him on anything. I wasn't ever going to be on his podcast, have him on mine or whatever. Like, so there's probably I think his public opinion has lowered of him. But unless he did anything illegal, then that's all we can do is go, okay, let's see if anybody still wants him to do comedy. Let's see if anyone still wants him around. But, you know.
Yeah, I used to like him a lot. Like, you know, we were very friendly when when he first started doing stand-up, I was probably, we started right around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, working on the LA scene, we would see each other all the time. And then he had worked for Joe Coy right before I did. Like, you know, he'd been Joe Coy's opener. And so We had a really good relationship. And then at a point, he just got, like, Hollywood and weird, which I didn't know anything about his dad. You know, like, his dad already being... I just knew him as, like, you know, one of the comics that would go to the mics and stuff like that. And we would text each other and stuff like that. But then right around the Whitney time, you know, when he was on the show Whitney, that's when he started getting weird. And he would, like, you know, kind of big time me when he would see me and pretend like he didn't see me. And it's like...
Right.
You know.
So it's like you already, he's just kind of a douche. Like the kind of guy who's going to big time you and he's going to brand women and he's dating young women. And it's just like, it sounds like he's just a douche. So.
Yeah. But, you know, I even like, because I don't particularly like dislike him now. Just I once I see that side of people, then I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I know what you are, you know.
Yeah.
But I still don't necessarily think that. I feel like that's one where you just leave it to the people. If people want to see him, then they go see him. If you don't like him, then you don't go see him. But, you know,
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, same. What other men are there since we're on a roll?
Have I not been enough of a rape apologist on this? What more do we need? Like,
yeah, we'll call us the rape apologist.
What about Dahmer? You know, like he's kind of cute, right?
Well, how about the Aziz Ansari story? There's another silly comedian story, which I remember. You know, I was in New York in maybe 2018. Because the Aziz thing must have been a 2017 story, probably.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So I think in 2018, he was just coming back, starting to go on tour again, and that had just been announced one day. And I was on some show, and there was a woman comedian who was like, I can't believe they're letting that rapist back out or whatever. And I'm like, well, this has gotten crazy when half the people are saying it's a bad date and half the people are saying it's rape. Like, I feel like everybody missed the point with that story. Because he's, you know, no one even accused him of rape.
Yeah, I thought it was just a bad date situation. And that one, I can't say I remember all the details, but I remember that I did read that entire article and her entire side of it. And I was like, yeah, that's just a horrible date. That's a horrible, horrible date.
Well, but it's a date that, like, to me, like, we missed an opportunity as a culture to, like, learn from the bad date. It's like you could say it's just a bad date. It's like, let's look at this bad date and see what went wrong. Because it's like this woman was 23 and she, you know, gets to go on this date with Aziz, like it met somewhere or whatever, and he asked her out. And I think in her mind, she probably was kind of having this like young, naive fantasy of, oh, I'm going to, you know, go on this date and he's going to really like me and he's going to be interested in my writing or whatever she was doing, you know, and then my career will take off. You know, she probably had all kinds of thoughts like that. And then they go to a restaurant and he orders champagne and oysters. And she's like, ooh, fun, romantic. But halfway through the champagne and oysters, he's like, let's go back to my place. Now, what a red flag. I mean, anyone should have some awareness, like, if he's not even interested in finishing the dinner, much less the oysters, like, and he's just trying to take you back to his place, like, he's just going to try to fuck you. Like, that's all. But she goes with him. And then in the Uber, he tries something and she's kind of like, no-ish. And then as soon as he gets her to his place, he puts her up on the counter and kind of tries. And like the whole thing is her just kind of being like, no. And I think, but she doesn't want to admit to herself that this guy is just interested in her body. And so because she can't deal with the cognitive dissonance of that, she has to keep kind of convincing herself that if she can keep this date going, that maybe she can get him to be interested in her as a person. And that's really sad. And she was young and foolish. And it's like, because in this post-sexual revolution world, we haven't really discussed the dating scripts. It used to be when people were dating, they were courting you and they were trying to get you to marry them so that they could fuck you for the rest of your life. And that was the deal. And now we don't have that. So it's like, in his mind, he's just trying to fuck. In her mind, she has this whole other fantasy of this thing. But they should have communicated. It would be better if we would communicate with each other about, hey, what kind of date is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we trying to get to know each other's people? Or because if he had said to her, hey, like, look, I think you're really hot and it seems like you're into me. And like, I would love to like take you back to my place and have a good time with you. And you know, then you can have a story about hooking up with Aziz Ansari and maybe everyone will have a good time with this. And then she could have said, hey, can we at least finish dinner? Or no, I'm not interested in that or whatever, you know. But instead, he's kind of, men kind of pretend they're more interested in you as a person than they really are. So they're kind of being dishonest. And the woman is kind of, you know, like going, you know, hoping that she's going to get some fantasy with a celebrity and that that's going to change her life or whatever. You know what I mean? I think everybody has these kinds of things going on and that they're not really admitting to each other, much less themselves, that he's being a little bit emotionally dishonest. And then she, you know, needs to stand up for herself at some point and realize like, and be a little bit less foolish, like about the fact that men are going to be trying for sex and like, you can't feign that much ignorance.
Well, to me, it's like they're both playing the same game, but they're just from different angles. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's really angling for the relationship side and trying to make that happen. He's just angling for the sexual side and trying to make that happen. And they're both just like not listening to each other and being like, you know, only worried about what their goal is.
Right.
And so, of course, you're going to end up in a really shitty situation when that happens, you know. And I, like, if I were her and I really wanted it to happen, you know, I would have fucked him and saw where it went from there. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's people for me where, like, I thought I just wanted to have sex with them.
Yeah.
And then I had sex with them. And then all of a sudden I liked them more than I thought I did. Or, you know, that's where I, like, saw whatever it was I saw in them. And like at this point and where I'm at, the way I do things, I'm very honest with everybody about this. You know, anybody that's like at all interested in me or I'm interested in them, I'm very honest about the fact that I fuck first and then date later.
Sure. But then sometimes for women, you know, she might not have been in the mood. She might not really be that like attracted to him. It might take her a longer build up for her to be interested in that. But that's something she could have said, like, hey, like, I'm not in the mood tonight, or I don't fuck on first dates or whatever it is for her. But if you want to, but she should have been more upfront about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's not about blaming her. It's like where we're at as a culture is that women aren't really being taught to do that. Men aren't really being taught to be honest. Everyone's kind of just playing their own little game of what they're trying to be out of it. And instead we need to have conversations where we're like, what are we actually trying to do on this date? All right. 'Cause if he had said, hey, you know, if he had made it clear, I'm just trying to fuck you, that would have given her the opportunity to decide whether she was into that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if she could have said, like, hey, I don't want to have sex with you on this date. And if you're interested in me, you're going to have to take me out to some, when, you know, and she should have said, no, we're not leaving in the middle of oysters. I want to finish my oysters.
Yeah.
Like, that's the craziest thing to me. I mean, I'm like too much of a foodie. I'm like, I can't believe they left those oysters on the table. You know, I'm like, but you, how, anyway, man who's like taking you back to his place before finishing the oysters. Like, there's only one explanation for that. And so to sit there and kind of pretend that he's not just going to try to fuck you every step of the, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but you're also assuming that we all put the same value on oysters that you do. Like, you're really pushing these oysters. Like you've said the oyster, the word oysters, a lot during this.
Oysters are expensive and nice and, you know. There's only so many of them in the world, you know, we can't just be leaving them on the table. I mean, but also it's like, if he was really interested in her as a person, he would want to have the conversation for the rest of dinner, not just finish the oysters, but order a meal. You know, they didn't have a nice dinner. Like they didn't even, it was like a fake date. And that's douchey on his part. It's super douchey of him to be like, yeah, let me take you out and then barely put the bare minimum in before being like, okay, let's fuck.
Oh, yeah. But also, like you said, like at that point, she should have been like, OK, this completely. Yeah, he doesn't value me, because that's what it comes down to, is he really didn't value her on any level. Right. And, you know, if it had been the gay world, that just would have been a grinder hookup.
Yeah. And it's honestly more honest of him to have to leave in the middle of the oysters, because if he had gone through a 7-course dinner with her, having great conversations, you know, whatever, and then hooked up and then been like, see ya. You know, then that would have been pretty emotionally dishonest. It's actually pretty emotionally honest of him to be like, let's go fuck. I mean, essentially what he was saying, I mean, he could have been a little bit more overt, but how much more overt can you be than to leave before you're done with your first course?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, they just weren't being honest with themselves, you know what I mean? And they also didn't want to accept. He doesn't want to accept that he's not as sexually attractive as he probably thinks he is. And she doesn't want to accept that she might not be as interesting as she thinks she is.
I think that's a big part of it for a lot of the men and women situations. Men really all think that they're like 3 notches hotter than they are. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand women's sex drives are so different and everything. And then, yeah, like this woman probably thought she was more interesting, especially as a 23-year-old, that she was going to capture his mind, you know, and really, like, have him be interested in her. Like, that was also probably pretty silly of her, so...
Yeah, that's one part of the world that I, like, male-female dating is so foreign to me because, you know, like, when I was younger, I pretended to be straight, you know, for, you could say I was in the closet, I guess, from, you know, for just that really young part of dating when you're, like, junior high to high school type thing, you know, but I don't have any real, you know, I have a lot of girlfriends that tell me what they go through and stuff like that. But it's all so foreign to me because I'm just like, yeah, the gay world doesn't, well, gay men, we don't work like that at all. So, you know, for me, it's like, okay, well, this seems like you guys went through a lot to figure out nothing.
Yeah. Well, men, yeah, men and women are just, there's a lot of miscommunication and a lot of misaligned incentives. So I feel bad for them.
What was it? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Wasn't that the 80s thing, or was that the 90s?
Yeah, yeah. I saw a billboard recently that somewhere in Texas had said, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, all other genders are from Uranus.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but there was some moveon.org petition or whatever to get it taken down for being I'm sorry, it's not only is it funny, but it's also kind of like honoring your stupid other genders.
Yeah,
there's, you get your own planet too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, like, people don't have a sense of humor anymore. That's a big part of what's wrong with everything, you know, and I don't just mean in the comedy way or towards stand-up, but just in general, some people refuse to have a sense of humor. And it's just, not only is it not a fun way to go through life, it's just not a very manageable way to go through life. Because there are so many people that do find things funny. And so if you're the kind of person that just refuses...
Dude, life is not worth living if we can't laugh about as much of it as possible.
100%.
I don't, there's like, it's not like the whole point of the universe is gone if you don't get to laugh about it.
Yeah, I take almost nothing seriously, like where it would be like 100%. I can't think of a single thing where I would think that you just can't joke about it or there's no way to find it funny.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, I don't know. I don't think there's anything.
Nothing inherent, no topic inherently, no. Yeah.
What about, is Kanye still in trouble?
I mean, I think it's just the same situation. I haven't heard any real updates recently. It's just kind of, he now is the way he is. But I don't think he's done any new interviews since that Alex Jones situation.
Did you feel anything about any of that?
I mean, you know, I haven't kept my thumb on the Kanye pulse that much anyway. I've just kind of been aware that he's a little bit of a whack-a-mole, you know, whack-a-doodle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I listened to his Joe Rogan a couple of years ago, you know, and I remember it being like interesting and sounded a little crazy, but also, you know, had some interesting ideas. But now it seems like he's gotten way off the rocker and is, has just gotten invested in ideas that are shitty. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, at one point, what did he brought out a net and a Yoohoo, chocolate Yoohoo, and was saying, and was calling it Netanyahu, his impersonation of Netanyahu.
Okay,
and it was,
yeah,
it was a Yoohoo. Anyway, but, you know, so it's like, I hope that anybody who is like potentially entertaining anti-Semitic ideas because of him is also seeing that and realizing, you know what, maybe I don't need to take my cultural ideas from this guy. You know, he's clearly just, I mean,
I'm still stuck on Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And then Yoohoo.
He had a chocolate Yoohoo and a little net and was like, I'm Netanyahu. And was like doing a. It was just insane. I mean, truly, like, insane. So, if anything, maybe it's doing good for the Jews because maybe people will go, you know what?
I don't want to be.
If this guy, I don't want to associate any of the ideas that Kanye's putting out. Like, he seemed like a real crackpot. So anybody who, you know, the idea of anybody watching him going, yeah, Hitler was good. Like, I mean, I don't know how you could watch that and come away with it on his side about anything. So, you know, maybe he's in some ways trolling anti-Semites by making them look bad.
Yeah. No, I was asking because he completely won me over.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't brought it up now. I wish I hadn't brought it up now because I feel like you just shit on my beliefs.
Sorry, I do want to be.
I thought I was a guest. Tolerant, you know? Okay, well, I see how I'm getting treated now, and you obviously don't respect me. You're gonna finish those oysters at least.
So, I mean, I don't know. Do you have any actual thoughts on Kanye?
Yeah, no, I agree. He's just gone completely off the deep end. But, you know, at the same time, I think there is a part of the industry that does want to shut down the conversation of who owns your voice, you know, because to me, like, I look at certain things that he says and I'm like, yeah, I think you're misguided in your conclusion. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think the Jews are the problem, mm-hmm. but I do think that there's a problem with the industry.
Yeah.
You know, even when you look at the way record deals work for comedians, you know, like like you do completely have to give up your masters. Like, mm-hmm. that's one thing. And so, you know, I think, like, sometimes maybe you can use, like, what is valid to kind of shut down what you don't want people to talk about, mm-hmm. you know? So if you can completely quell that part of the conversation and be like, you know, well, why are you worried about who owns your voice, you know, and that kind of thing, then, you know, so it serves both purposes.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate that he's too off the rocker, because maybe he could make some good points.
Yeah, you know, if he were just able to, like, get himself stabilized, you know, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, I think there's a bigger conversation to be had there, where, because people are so quick to just say a person's crazy or whatever, but then at the same time, we're supposed to be at least somewhat sympathetic to mental illness, but mm-hmm. then as soon as you have a chance to call somebody crazy, you take that chance again.
Well, we need to be able to call him crazy. You can still feel bad for him and hope he gets help, but mm-hmm. but be like, well, he's obviously crazy, so, you know, we can't, you know, we want to make sure that that's properly labeled in case anybody's not paying enough attention or whatever. But, you know, crazy people still have truth and good ideas in there sometimes, and sometimes they're able to see things or say things that other people aren't. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, you get back on your meds, and, you know, like, that's something that I think more people need to talk about, too, is, you know, because sometimes what happens, well, a lot of times what happens with people that are dealing with mental illness is that they take their meds and they start feeling right again, you know, things are going well, and then they think that they can stop taking their meds, and then, you know, a spiral happens, and with a person like Kanye, you just wonder kind of, like, you know, where that went bad or what exactly happened with that, you know. But, yeah, some of the things he says, it's kind of like it would be nice to explore some of it. The anti-Semitism, definitely not. But, you know, like, some of the points he makes, it's kind of like, okay, well, maybe we should look into that or kind of wonder what's going on with that. But, you know, it's... I don't know. In a way, I feel like that part's unfortunate because, you know, like you said, with the dating thing and Aziz and stuff like that, I think there's a lot people are missing there.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. Instead of just dismissing these stories, like, let's actually look at them and see what's going on and learn from them.
Yeah. And then, but then, you know, you say that and people right away get like, so you think we should listen to an anti-Semite? And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's the part that you should be dismissive of, and right. maybe, you know, but I don't tell people what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not really big on that. You know what I mean? I just, like, I listen a lot more than people would think. I think because my social media presence, people think that I'm going to be a lot more, like, in your face than I am, or, like, you know, but a lot of times when I'm in social situations, especially where, like, people don't know me from the comedy world, or and I can just kind of be more of a fly on the wall than anything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I can have somebody talking to me at, like, you know, a social gathering that doesn't know anything about me and saying things that are the complete opposite of what I think. Mm-hmm. And I won't argue at all, or I'll just sit and listen to them, you know.
No, I love letting people talk and just hearing what they have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to talk always because I already know what I think, mm-hmm. you know, so if I actually listen to you and hear what you think, and I always tell people, like, you know, I think it's important to be triggered because a lot of times I'll find what I have in common with people just past the point where they trigger me. Mm-hmm. So if I just control myself and don't be reactive, you know, instead of being like, well, I actually think I just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Then almost right after, and it almost never fails.
Yeah.
You know, right after they'll say something that I'm like, okay, well, that part I agree with.
Right.
And then from that perspective, I can kind of back up a little bit and be like, okay, well, do I agree with what they said at all in the moment where they triggered me? And sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of nice to learn that way rather than be, you know, because you just stay your own way all the time and only think what you think and only are outgoing, you know, because that's what a lot of people are, is just only outgoing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't even want to listen to you when you're only outgoing.
Right. Because you're not letting any other thoughts in. So your thoughts aren't going to be that interesting after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like, you, and a lot of those people, if you listen to them, they a lot of times read one thing,
mm-hmm,
or heard from one person that they...
They're just parroting it.
Yeah, yeah, and they don't even know their facts in a lot of cases. If you do ask them, you know, a couple questions, they right away fall apart. And right, you're like, okay, so how can you really believe in this? And maybe that's the reason you keep getting defensive, is because you know that people are going to find out that you haven't done any research on this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course you're going to get defensive. You want to stop the conversation before they find out that you're just an idiot.
Right. You're here.
Yeah.
All right. Any other men to discuss?
Are there any other men to discuss?
I feel like in the comedy world, that's probably... Those are probably the big ones.
Yeah.
Unless there's something obvious that we're forgetting.
I don't know.
I think that's it. All right. So other than rape apology, got any other...
anything else I'm passionate about?
Yeah.
You know, there isn't a lot that I really care about outside of the raping world.
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of keep it focused. I stayed zeroed in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always say, if you ain't raping, it ain't my business.
I mean...
It's just always the way I've lived. You know what I mean? Ever since I was a little girl, it's been my thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten in trouble for anything recently?
Have I gotten? I don't think I have been in trouble for anything recently. The last thing was fat shaming.
Mm.
But, you know.
Who did you fat shame?
This girl. The thing that got on my nerves about that was she's the one that started talking about me first and said something shitty. And then I did some, like, joke about calories in versus calories out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember what it was, but it was clever.
Yeah.
And then they tried to turn it into just a complete fat shaming thing. And I was just like, well, everybody already knows I'm a fat shamer, you know? Yeah. I have body issues. I'm a body dysmorphic. I fat shame myself. So if I tell myself the kinds of things that I'll tell myself, what makes you think I'm gonna slow down on your fat ass?
Yeah.
You know, it's like... All bets are off.
So what do you think about the concept of fat shaming?
I think it can both be good and I think it can be bad too. And I also think that at the end of the day, what you think about yourself is what's more important than anybody else, mm-hmm, you know? And so, like, I have friends that people that would describe as fat that I don't even think of as fat, even though if I were to, like, just objectively look at them, I'd be like, yeah, they're fat. You know, that's what it is. But they describe themselves as voluptuous and they always, like, really keep themselves up. And, you know, it's more about where you're at. And that's also the same way. Because like I said, I'm a fat shamer.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about them, I don't ever think about the word fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there must be a reason that that's the way it is. And then some people, you know, always walk around in sweats or depressed all the time, you know, always eating something, have shit on their face. And it's like, of course, I think you're fat. You're disgusting.
Yeah. So whether you're fat or voluptuous depends on whether you are dressing nice and stuff.
Well, how you're presenting yourself and the way you see yourself, you know, the way you project.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to be
a slob.
Yeah, you can decide you're what you are, you know? I mean, like, there's people that to look at them, they're not necessarily pretty, but because of the way that they carry themselves, that's the way you think of them. You think of them in some cases as beautiful. You know, you're just like, wow, they're really... but if you were to really look at them, you'd be like, no, you're really not.
Right. Yeah. It is all how you carry yourself, really.
Yeah.
So when you say you're a fat shamer, you mean like as a habit, you will go ahead and fat shame people?
Well.
When you're being mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially because, you know, like people don't get you have to come at me first. I'm not like an aggressor or a bully.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there was this person that was being discriminatory towards me recently. And this was in a professional situation. And like my thing was, I just needed to get done what I needed to get done. And I don't think that we should really have opinions about each other. You know, like you need me for something, I need you for something. And so to me, the best course of action is just for me to be as polite to you as I possibly can be. And hopefully you do the same. And if you don't, you know, at least keep it at a professional level. Mm-hmm. And they were just going out of their way to make me miserable. So I finally called them out on their behavior, and then they tried to go into victim mode on me, and then I got angry, and then they said something, and then I told them, it's not my fault you're fat and miserable, why don't you just accept that, and then we can restart the conversation.
How'd that go?
Oh, they were upset. But you know what I mean? I was already to the point where it's like, none of this is my problem. I don't care how you feel about any of what's happening right now. You sit with that.
Yeah, it sounds so fun to just go ahead and call someone fat and miserable. Like I don't think I've ever experienced that kind of joy.
I do it whenever I need to. But it does feel good. But I also call out a lot of behaviors like that, you know, like when it comes to racism and like times people will judge me for the amount of tattoos I have and, you know, like plastic surgery. And people will really come at me in a way because, you know, like I guess because of the amount of things that I've done to myself. And I don't mean like necessarily any one of those things, but just the combination of everything. Mm-hmm. It makes it really easy for people to dehumanize me. Mm-hmm. And so when you have the world coming at you with that energy, it kind of gives you license to come at them with the same energy. Yeah. It's like if you're going to look at me as completely not a real thing,
right,
then maybe I'll look at your fat ass the same way. Or, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you're ugly or, you know, and then, like, you know, somebody will try to hit me with something on the ugly thing and be like, you know, well, maybe I think you're ugly. And I'd be like, no, I'm not ugly. I'm overworked. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Overworked is something a plastic surgeon does. Ugly is something your genetics provide you with.
Yeah, okay, so maybe it's not the same. Maybe I don't need to call people fat and ugly after all.
Are people nice to you? I feel like they are. Yeah, you know, yeah. So, no, you have good energy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, like me and other comics have talked about you in good ways.
That's nice.
Yeah, and you just have good energy. It's almost like you have, like, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all. So don't take it the wrong way. Okay. But you almost have like mom energy.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I mean that in a good way, not the bad, you know, like, she's going to come energy. Tell us what we're allowed to say again.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. You're cool mom energy.
I'm not sure if anyone's ever told me I have mom energy before. Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, just very like nurturing in a way.
Nurturing. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I think, you know, I mean like, I don't know. I always see a lot of people conversing with you. And I think that that's probably a part of why so many people talk to you is because I don't like you just seem like the kind of person like you can talk to about anything and that you're not judgmental at all.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good because my mom was such a bitch that I'm like surprised that I have good mom energy. I always felt like I would probably be a horrible mom. I'd probably be too much like my mom, you know.
Yeah, I've never like that, you know, like you were the kind of person that like, which I don't know you super well, but you know what I mean? I never like got the feeling like you were the kind of person that wanted to be a mom or anything, but I just feel like good mom energy off you.
So I do kind of want to have kids, but it needs to be a situation where there's like six other people who would help me raise them, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a full-time parent.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to have one kid, mm-hmm. at least one, but, you know.
Yeah, you should have a kid. That'll be fun.
I would be fun and good, you know what I mean, and teach them not to fat shame.
Yeah. Unless people deserve it.
Yeah, but, you know, I do eventually want to have a kid, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, the situation has to be right.
And especially being a gay man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it's super hard to do.
Yeah. You would find a partner first that could be a good...
If I made enough money, I would just do it myself. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, myself would, like, you know, just hire a nanny or something like that, mm-hmm. to help. But, like, I would want to be very hands-on, you know. Like, the nanny would just be there for when they're absolutely needed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I think I'd be good at it. But at this point in my life, not, you know, any time before. Like,
sure.
Yeah, when I was younger. You know, like, so that's what makes me, like, cool with my parents is, like, you know, because me and my parents have a really good relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, we went through all the phases, you know. And, like, now when I think about some of the way that they treated me at different points in their life, I'll, like, kind of measure that against where I was at that point in my life, mm-hmm. or that at that age specifically. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I probably would have been an asshole like that, too,
mm-hmm.
because they're kind of, you know, in some ways growing up with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I think a lot of times people don't take that into account when they're thinking about their parents' behavior when they were younger. And I'm not saying that makes everything forgivable and excusable, but I think it's maybe a little bit easier to relate to if you at least try to think of it in those terms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you have kids, or a kid anyway.
I hope so.
It'll be fun. Little Ty Jr.
Yeah. You can bring some of your mom energy around.
All right. Sweet. All right. Well, I think we covered it then.
All right. Well, you know, I don't think I said anything that should get me canceled on this one.
No, I think we, yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't really care if it does. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a, I don't know. I don't think that's going to last any longer than like a year or two.
The cancel culture stuff?
Yeah, I think it's.
Yeah, I feel like the tide has turned on a lot of stuff in the culture war stuff. I think that there's more sanity is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
People are thinking a little bit more broadly and just realizing that it's a small percentage of people who have always been the obnoxious people online, or the people calling for boycotts and all that kind of stuff. Like, people are starting to realize, like, how few people that really is, and we don't need to be afraid of them anymore.
Yeah, well, the dumbest among us are always the loudest. It's right. Just what it is, you know. And it's one of the things that I think more people are starting to realize, even about the LGBT community,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like, oh, well, I know plenty of sane, normal LGBT people that, you know, aren't worried about this. So maybe I don't have to jump on this bandwagon because I think I'm protecting my friends, or I don't have to fight this group of people because I think that all of them think this, you know.
Right, exactly. Because we do the same thing, you know, even being in the gay world, like, we can still have the stereotype that all the LGBTQ, et cetera, people are all offendable and obnoxious and whatever, you know, like, that's my stereotype too. And then I have to remember, like, oh, lots of my friends are chill. So it's not everyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been hanging out with trans people forever now. Like, mm-hmm. a friend of mine just brought it up. One of my trans friends, cause I had posted something and then she, responded in the comments. She was like, we've been friends for 30 years now. And she was rounding up, but just slightly, mm-hmm. you know? And so it like for 30 years now, I've been hanging out with trans people. And there was a point there where things got really, like, especially between me and some of the online trans activists, mm-hmm. where it got really heated. And I, like, you know, there was a part of me that really felt like I didn't like trans people for a minute there. And then all of a sudden I, like, you know, reflected back, and I'm like, yeah, I just, because again, with like the thing I said about, you know, like the way people think about themselves, because of my friends just being who they are and that not being the center of their identity, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think of them as trans.
Right.
They're just who they are, you right. know? So like I had that moment where I thought that, and then that's when I really started to see like kind of how destructive that activist mentality is, and speaking for everybody, because like if you can make me, a person that's had trans friends for 30 years, think on some level that they don't like trans people, right. then you can really do it with people that are
right,
you know, unaware or don't know.
Totally. Yeah, if they don't know any trans people, they're really going to assume that all trans people are like those obnoxious people on the internet.
Yeah, and then they walk out with that feeling like, I hate trans people. And it's like, no, you don't know trans people, you right. just know your online interactions with people that are probably the worst of right. a particular group.
Exactly.
But yeah, so
good. Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get in any trouble. Mm. I mean, you know, one day we will.
We'll see what happens.
But thanks, Ty.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, do you want to plug anything?
I do not right now. I mean, like, you know, when do you put this out?
A couple of weeks, next week.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just live in Austin now. So if people are in Austin, you know, check out my socials and see where I'm going to be. Do you put links in links in description or something like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys can just put my socials there, people can find out where they can, you know, see me. But I'm really, I don't want to be on the road that much. So I am going to be around Austin as much as I possibly can. Secret show is something that I'm doing regularly at the Vulcan on Thursday nights. And so whenever I'm in town, I'll be there as much as they'll have me. And Red Band said that, you know, he wants to have me around a bit. So,
sweet.
You know, I should be there quite a bit. I like the creek and the cave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people want to just hang out and say hi to me, I'll be there plenty, you know. And outside of that, I'm staying away from the mics for the most part, but any like decent show,
yeah,
there's a chance you'll see me on it.
Sounds good. All right, thanks, Ty.
Thank you.